This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Lucas Parry, wonderful to have you joining us today in the studio.
G'day, thanks for having us.
You're at the tail end of a couple of weeks here in Australia. How's that been?
It's been a great, spectacular 2 weeks. Just here in Sydney and Newcastle, we had 15 shows, number of schools and churches, and doing our event called the Go Concert here in town. So it's nice to be home.
So tell us, you are a Sydney born and bred man.
Sydney born and raised for 23 years, and then I was actually on a mission trip to India.
Okay.
And there was this girl over there who was actually the boss of my project, and I thought she was smoking, and smoking hot, that is.
Is this Jody?
Yeah, this is Jody.
I hope this is not another woman.
No, so I married her.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and it took me a couple of years, and so we've been married for 7 years, and I've been in the
wonderful.
States for 7 years.
And you've got a little boy, is that right?
Little boy, he's 2.5, his name's Liam, and he is awesome. And my wife, Jody, she's back home. She's pregnant with our second. So we have a little girl coming in October.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, got a pigeon pair, so we're excited.
Do you do all right, you know, being away for 2 weeks? Or do you start to miss them?
Oh, I'm missing them greatly right now. You know, 2 weeks is our limit. Typically, Jody and Liam will come 80% of our shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but this time she decided... She didn't want to travel on the plane. She's
I'm
in a
pregnant.
Second trimester. Yeah.
Sitting in a plane, not fun. Turbulence,
totally.
Really not fun.
Yeah. So she decided, you know what, Lucas, you can go by yourself. and it's a bit easy in Australia because we can Skype, we can chat all the time. When I was in Africa a few weeks ago, and that was harder because communication was a lot less. But yes, I'm missing them greatly.
Oh, very good. Now the Go concert, something that you've done here, but you're the brains behind it. Tell us, what is the Go Concert? What's it about?
Well, it is the ministry head up back home is called the Go Network. And what the Go Network is set up to do is to inspire and engage people in social justice and mission. And we do a number of things. We take teams overseas on mission trips all around the world to some justice hotspots. And
justice hotspots.
Yeah, I know. That sounds really cool, doesn't it?
Off the top of your head, what are the hotspots?
Well, places like Thailand and Vietnam, where human trafficking is a major issue. Extreme poverty. We go to places like Africa and Kenya. I was just in the Nairobi slums in Kibera. And so we do a lot of work over there. And we're expanding, hopefully, to do some work in the Middle East. So that's on the cards as well. But we call them, those trips, we call them vision trips. The goal is not so much to go and build a project, but to expose young leaders to some of these justice issues and then unpack in their lives and help them developing a vision on how they can become advocates for these causes back in their own lives, whether they're doctors, lawyers, or school, college students or whatever. So the vision trips is one part of what we do. And then the other part is we found the best way to inspire people and educate them on justice issues is through concerts. And so we do seminars and concerts. We do seminars in schools, which is about a 45-minute presentation. We do them in Christian schools and public mainstream schools. And also the Go Concert is our church-based concert where we... really talk about the Bible and God's heart for the poor, when God commands us as Christians to be advocates for justice in Micah 6:8, and just try and inspire people and educate them on issues. It's quite staggering to me that most of the church don't realize that slavery is bigger than it ever has been in the world. And when we tell them there's actually 27 million people caught up in slavery around the world, they're shocked.
That is staggering.
It's huge. And part of, you know, before someone can impact and change the world, they need to know the reality of the situation, what it's like outside of our Aussie island. And so we use a concert to inspire, educate, and equip them. And we're real blessed on this tour to have some video guests, Bill Hybels, Shane Claiborne, and Todd Phillips. And so some of you may have heard of those guys, and they're super cool, and they really challenge people to get active and get out there. And
how does your music then intertwine with that? Because you are a musician.
Yeah.
But is that you're a musician first and foremost, and then the social justice that now kind of impacted that?
Wow.
How's that worked?
Yeah, I struggle with that all the time, actually, because I find myself, I do a lot more speaking nowadays. And music is really the thing that allows me, gives me the permission to speak into people's lives. When I sing songs, people connect with them, and music has the ability to do that, you know.
The universal language, so to speak.
Totally. And then from there, I get to speak. So what do I... music and speaking is the two of the I think they dovetail. I think I do. Mm. I couldn't do one without the other. And but in the concert, yeah, my songs are weaved all throughout. In the Hearts for Justice tour, which is the school tours we do, there's no worship. We just do songs like Something Beautiful that you guys play all the time, and some of the other songs that we do. But in churches, we actually have a time of worship as well.
Great.
And just intertwine. There's about 15 videos throughout the entire concert. So the videos interweave behind the music and the songs, and then guest speakers come in and out, then I speak. So it really is quite a cool production.
I'd take it that you're pretty technical savvy. You probably doing PowerPoint and click and setting that all up.
Yeah, we have some cool programs that help us. I mean, it makes it look really good, but to be honest, it's all behind the back scenes. It's really the technology behind it is really cool. And
okay.
One of our tour sponsors actually is called Renewed Vision, and they have a program called Pro Presenter. And it's a Mac-based program that allows you to use video and media and put the words on the screen really easily in an amazing way. So, to be honest, I'll give them the props because they make it look really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool that you're using that though. But, you know, obviously, you know, you've got a heart for social justice. When in your life was the time that first kind of, you know, impacted you, the light went on, you're like, this is something we've got to address?
17, and I was one of my first mission trip to Zambia, and with a group called Teen Missions, and it was a very confronting trip for me. The first few weeks, I didn't like it because it was the first time I'd seen poverty firsthand, and it was shocking. Yeah. You know, when you see little kids 2 or 3 years old begging, and they're in rags, and you see kids without shoes, something we take for granted. And then we went to visit a tuberculosis hospital, and you saw these frail people dying, and no one caring for them, no one loving for them, and it shocked me.
Yeah.
And first 3 weeks, I was almost, it assaulted my senses very much, and I couldn't handle it. But by the end of the trip, God had broken my heart for some of these issues. And I was more shocked at the fact that I didn't know anything about it beforehand.
Yeah.
And I thought, God, why didn't someone tell me? And then I prayed a prayer. I said, God, if there's something I can do about this as a 17-year-old man, would you show me? And so all I do today, the things I share in churches and schools, are just the ways God has shown me that I, as a 17, now 27, 29-year-old, can engage in these issues and truly impact and change the world. Mother Teresa, she said this. She said, you can do no great things, but only small things with great love. And that is really the theme of our message and our concerts. It's not about, you know, winning a Nobel Peace Prize and, you know, inventing microfinancing or doing something massive like that, which hopefully some people will do.
Yeah.
But it's all about every believer, every Christian doing small things every day, changing the world. Yeah. And
I mean, I suppose that's the thing, you know, not everyone can actually see that, you know, go over and do those mission trips. So how do you then connect with people to get them to do something? What do you think people should do?
How do we connect with them? It's often difficult. We use a lot of video,
you know,
because people got to see it, and the music connects. But we encourage people to go overseas. I truly believe that my defining experience was the moment I went overseas and I came back, and my life was changed. I could no longer have the island mentality that the rest of the world doesn't affect me. And I came back and I was changed. So that's why we do take teams overseas. And we can, because we are a parachurch organization, we have the ability to work with multiple organizations on different trips, and we can go into places that sometimes just a particular church can't do as easily. So it's very exciting.
Sounds like it's a bit Matrix, like take the blue pill or the red pill, and
take them together. That's what I encourage. Take them both. Go overseas and see it all and come back and change the world.
What would you say that are three areas of social justice that probably require the biggest response from people?
I think the big issues right now that people are becoming more aware of, and I think among our generation, the young adults, the 16 to 35 year olds, I think human trafficking is a huge one.
That's just scary.
Yeah, and it's a lot of people are beginning to talk about it. A lot of people are beginning to say, hey, this is not right. There's a lot of good biographies and documentaries being written about it. So we find young people cottoning onto that and saying, yeah, we want to get involved in human trafficking and to stop sex slavery around the world. And it's specifically because it's so close to us. I mean, Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, where millions, every year, 2 to 4 million new kids are caught up in this, sold by parents, taken from families. It's horrendous. And probably the next one, I'd say child soldiers is a big one.
Yeah.
Groups like the Invisible Children doing great work in Uganda.
Is that, yeah, Uganda, yeah.
Yeah. And there's also a group we work with closely called Project AK-47, and they rescue child soldiers in Burma, just not too far from Australia. And probably the third issue would be extreme poverty and all of its issues there with AIDS and disease outbreaks. I would say another thing that I'm quite passionate about is refugee crisis around the world. Because of wars, that's happening all around us and everywhere. And I think people, they want to get involved. And that said, I will say, if folks have a real heart for this and they want to find out more information, they can jump on thegoconcert.com, click on a bunch of the links and organizations we work with around the world, because there's some phenomenal reading. And I would say, educate yourself. Know more about the situation. The more you know, the more you can change the world.
How does your faith then impact working with those organisations and going overseas? How do you then interweave that faith into it?
Yeah, well, for me personally, I mean, my faith is the reason why I do it all. I believe that for many years, the church has only focused on the gospel of salvation. You know, we've said that is the be-all and end-all, but where the gospel of salvation is the door, one enters the kingdom of heaven, and it's vitally important. But what Jesus taught on was the kingdom of heaven. And he talked about the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. And the kingdom of heaven includes justice, mercy, compassion, and love, and all of these wonderful, amazing components of God and his kingdom here on earth. But many times we just say, we're all about just getting people saved. You know, which is important, that's the door people come in. But then we stop there. And then we go ahead and say, well, we're not going to engage in justice. We're not going to do that. And I think the church has gone through that phase. Now it's awakening and saying, hey, there's a bigger picture. So my faith compels me to be involved in justice issues, because Jesus talked about it so much. I mean, the parable of the Good Samaritan, it just resonates so loudly. I want to be that Samaritan. I want to be the guy that picks up the guy off the street and helps him, not the two religious folks who walk by and don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm passionate about it. The organizations we work with, 90% of them are faith-based. They're organizations that, again, are motivated by their belief in the gospel and their passion for sharing the gospel and being the gospel to the people around them.
I suppose you're showing that faith is such an active thing. It's not something to just sit back and not be active.
Totally. I mean, St. Francis of Assisi said, preach at all times. If necessary, use words. I like to use words, so I'll preach. I hope that my life will be full of actions and talking about it. And I remember someone once said that, you know, you believe something not when you think you do, nor when you say you do, but you truly believe something when you act as if you do. And I think part of our calling, especially to the American church, is to help wake her up and say, you know, we've been a sleeping giant. We've been asleep on these issues, and we have a generation of young people who are skeptical of the church because all they've seen the church is, being concerned about building her buildings as opposed to restoring the world. Or, it seems like the church is known for what we stand against than what we stand for.
Yeah.
And I think we have an opportunity to repaint Jesus to a generation who's skeptical of the church by being the hands and feet of Jesus, not just talking about it.
And I think that's probably the contrast of being the body and working together instead of being world-focused and being myself, myself, myself.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, and it has as many components. It's great when you're overseas on a mission field or you're doing trips. It's funny. You'll see a Catholic working with a Pentecostal. You'll see an Anglican with a Baptist. When you're overseas, it's all about mission. And there's such great unity in mission. No, regardless of the way you prefer to worship, you know, whether you like to clap or you don't clap your hands. There's great joy and celebration of fellowship when you're overseas with fellow missionaries. When we come back here into our comfortable living, something happens and we become polarized. with our churches and we don't work together. There's not mission. We find when we do go concerts, when churches get together, like four or five churches, or there is phenomenal synergy when we talk about justice and mission together. And then those churches then work together with a global strategy for reaching their community. It is powerful stuff.
Absolutely. Mm. Actually, it's funny when you were saying that kind of comfort factor, it just made me automatically think of Delirious's Kingdom of Comfort, that song, and just what that is exactly all about.
Mm.
Is that idea of that we just sit back in this comfort world and we refuse to see what's actually happening out there.
Yeah, and Delirious are great advocates for this stuff. They're out there using their voices to, and they've always sung about it since early days when I remember, like, Live in the Can. They've always been active and trying to spur on people to, you know, live their faith.
You're talking about American churches and that kind of thing like that, and you've been kind of asleep. What do you think of Australian churches? Where do you think they're going right and where do you think they're going wrong in terms of social justice?
Oh, that's a good point. We found in Australia very welcoming with social justice. But I did have an interesting conversation with a friend recently who is quite a well-known pastor here in Sydney. And he had mentioned that the word social justice in Sydney has, or in Australia, has some baggage. Mm. To some people in some circles, when you say social justice, people will automatically think Catholic liberal theology. And some may think something else. And I find that the word social justice means something to everyone. To young people, social justice really just means the gospel, where it's part of what we believe and what we should be doing. So where does the Aussie church find themselves? Somewhere in between all that. Our experience in doing go concerts, people have been unbelievable.
Mm.
They absolutely love it. And I think, you know, the Catholics are being a very loud voice with social justice. It's great. But so are the Baptists starting to really waken up. Some of the Pentecostal churches are fired up. Of course, Hillsong, you know, do a great deal in being great voices for justice causes. I think definitely among the young people, younger audience, this is their language. The older folks, when they hear about it, they get fired up about it. I just think that they don't hear about it as much.
Yeah,
and like last night, we did a great show up in Newcastle, Walls End Baptist Church, and quite an older audience, and just so many of the older folk come up afterwards saying, we had no idea. Mm. This is unbelievable. I mean, you've rocked my world that we can actually get involved in this stuff.
And how cool is that to hear that from someone old? You've rocked my world.
Oh, it makes my day. And, you know, it wasn't just one or two people.
Mm.
You know, 10, 15 folks after the concert, like, take the time to come up and say, you know, this has really challenged my worldview. And, you know, I don't have a lot of money. I can't, you know, give heaps of money to this, but I know I can do something. And that is exciting.
Of course, you know, we were talking about before that, you know, of course, music is a part of these concerts and stuff like that. And was it 2008 you had your album Alive?
April 2008. Time goes so quickly. Once you have kids, it goes.
It does. Will you be bringing out more music, an album, or?
Oh, yes. Be the first to know, actually. I'm planning.
Sorry.
We're planning two new projects.
Oh, great.
Yeah, one of them's a worship CD. I really feel a lot of times we do lead a lot of worship, and I really just sense God just wanting me to do a little worship project. Mm-hmm. And the other one, the guy actually who wrote Something Beautiful with me, we've been writing a lot of songs. We've got some songs on TV and a bunch of things. And we've been talking about taking some of those songs and putting a little album together. That one might be a little side project. You might not see Lucas Parry's name per se. We might have a little band name. So we might, we're still not sure.
That was my next question. Tuned. If you were going to form a band, what would that name be?
Oh, I have no idea. I always say, when I moved to Nashville, I was in a band.
Right.
So we had a band in New Jersey, and it was called Tuned In.
Tuned In.
Which is such a terrible name. I'm embarrassed by it today. I can't believe I'm telling you this.
But you know what's great? If you're a radio announcer and you get that, you have to dad joke it. Well, tune in to Tune In.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that bad? I don't know. I'd probably pick something really random that meant nothing to anyone.
Hmm.
Yeah,
Why not?
I don't know. Band names are so hard. Like, how do you... I'd stress over finding a name, that's for sure.
Take your time. Take your time. Now, you know, I understand that probably with the first album, you wrote a lot of that probably while on the road. Are you doing the same now? Like, you're writing a lot from your experience on the road?
Yeah, I write. Yeah, I go through seasons of writing. I'll even just yesterday, I was driving home and I had three ideas in my head. So I have to record them, quickly get the ideas down. Then when it comes time to writing an album, I go back and I listen to all my ideas and just start knuckling down and writing them. There are, so that said, I go through seasons of writing. Yeah. I don't write all the time. I kind of, I probably could, but it you know, it takes time and energy. It really does take a lot of energy writing songs. You're devoting a lot of mental and spiritual and physical energy into pouring your emotion into a song.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. And you've obviously got another a child on the way. You'll have two. Will you be bringing out kids' music? Ooh. Will that be a bit of a...
No. No. I will say this, though, and we just missed Father's Day here. I do have a song on my album that I wrote for Liam when he was born.
Oh, wonderful.
And I think next year we might kind of release that as a single around Father's Day, and it's all about... It's called Better Man, and it's all about my prayer to God that I want to be a better man because he, God's entrusted me with this awesome young life, and
yeah.
He's going to look at my example. And so I probably will write a song for my little daughter. Princess when she comes.
Yeah. Just don't make it sappy.
Oh,
some of them are so like,
not?
Princess. Yeah. Oh, like, oh, I can't. There's a few out there at the moment. Cinderella and Butterfly. Butterfly Kisses. No.
Now, I remember when I heard that song the first time. I woke
you
up.
You cried?
I did. I woke up in the morning. I was a school teacher. I woke up in the morning and I couldn't help. I thought that is such a beautiful song. And I was imagining me walking my daughter down the aisle.
Mm.
Come on. Don't tell me you didn't cry when you first heard that.
I can't. No. Oh. I'm hard.
Do you cry during movies?
I've got a hard heart. Yeah, I do.
TV commercials?
Occasionally. Sorbent ones, especially. No, I do. Like, I'm not that hard. It's just, I don't know, to me, it's just the kind of, look, maybe one day if I have a daughter or something like that. And
yeah, it'll do it to you. Having kids will do it to you. It totally has made me a softie. It's unbelievable. It's embarrassing sometimes, especially when I'm watching a movie and Jodie's right there and she's not crying and there's Lucas in tears, you know. And
that's the bit in movies that gets me when it's a relationship that's going to end or something like that, or like in terms of someone's going to die. That gets me every time.
Yeah.
And I don't suppose you've seen Marley and Me, have you?
Nope.
Okay, because I bawled like a baby.
So I shouldn't watch that.
No, it's fantastic, but I bawled. And so many people have. It's a long movie to get to the part where you just let it all out.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like The Notebook. The Notebook was a bad one for me.
You cried in The Notebook.
You didn't?
No, of course I did, but I don't know.
All right, enough about me crying. Let's move on to something
but
way
wait,
more interesting.
There is a T-shirt out there which supposedly attracts the ladies, and of course you're taken, so maybe you don't want to wear it. Of course, it's got a power that's, you know... But it's basically I cried in The Notebook, and that's meant to attract the ladies.
Well, you know what I said? I do. I tell Jodie all the time when she teases me if I tear up in a movie. I'm like, well, at least I can be sensitive and be able to be moved. Oh, you know, because you know, what if I was somewhere and God wanted to move me, and you know, Jesus was moved by compassion. I want to be a soft person.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be hard hearted. And
that's right. I'm too blokey to ever feel emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. No, good. Let it out.
Change topic.
What's the rest of the year hold for you?
Well, this year, well,
Jodie's, we're at a halfway point.
Yeah, a halfway point. It's been really busy this year, travel wise, this year so far. And I slow down a little bit around the baby. So I go home tomorrow and I'll be home for 2 weeks and I go to Russia on a trip and then I come back.
Mm.
Then we're just touring in the US, baby time. So I don't think I'll do another overseas trip until next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we will see you again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is our third trip this year.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, well, I say this year since July last
year.
So we'll definitely, next year, I'm sure we'll be back two or three times. I love coming home.
Yeah.
And it's 2 week spurts. I don't mind the airplane ride. Actually, I love it because I can watch movies on demand. So I love coming back. Airfares are cheap. So yeah, we'll definitely be back. I love the Aussie church. It makes me feel at home that I can come back and, you know, be a part of just hoping to inspire a generation to change the world here in my home. So
for sure. Well, Lucas Parry, it's been wonderful to have you join us, inspire us a little bit with your message that of course interweaves with your Go concert and your music. Thank you for your music.
Yeah. Well, thank you for playing it. Awesome.
I feel like I should sing an ABBA song now. Thank you for the music.
You should put out a CD. You've got a good voice.
No.
For real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And do enjoy the flight back.
Thank you. Great to be with you. Thanks.
Well, joined by Lucas Parry for 120 seconds of Going to Know Your Quiz Bonanza. Suppose you hear this music all the time in Nashville, don't you?
All the time. In fact, I play it in my car when I wake up every morning as well.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Just a ding, 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 ding.
It gets me excited. I'm going out.
I'm going to get some milk.
Ding, yee-haw. Ding, ding, ding. Yee-haw.
Very good. Well, let us start the clock, dim the lights as well, and get to know you in 120 seconds.
Ready.
Your full name?
Lucas Llewellyn Parry.
What's one thing you miss about Australia?
Meat pies.
Which song do you wish you wrote?
Tie Me Kangaroo Down Sport.
If you could join any musical group in the world, who would it be?
Well, we're just talking about ABBA, but totally not ABBA, but that was the first one that came to my head.
Oh.
But I don't know.
You've got the beard for it. You'd fit right in.
No, you too.
Oh, good. Yeah, what are you most afraid of?
This is going to sound funny, but magpies swooping me.
Absolutely. Best way to relax?
At the beach.
Beef or chicken?
Chicken.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Favourite pizza topping?
Ham and pineapple.
What colour are your bathroom towels?
Depending on what week it is, I like these kind of a goldy beige colours.
Signature dish, what you like to cook?
Gee, all right. Anything Asian. Love Asian food. Stir fry.
Okay. Favourite day of the week?
Sunday.
What time do you usually go to bed?
2 a.m.
Last person you went to dinner with?
Jody.
Dream car?
Wait, take that back.
I know,
I've
2 weeks.
I've been here. Last person I went to dinner with? It was my compassion guy, Nathan. We went to Indian.
Oh, cool. And if you could be a Muppet, which Muppet would you be?
I hate the Muppets. I've never watched the Muppets.
No!
My sister was totally into the Muppets. I couldn't even tell you a Muppet. Who are the Muppets?
The Muppet!
Like, what
Kermit?
Are the characters?
Kermit the Frog.
Oh, Kermit. Oh, I know Kermit.
Kermit, Animal, oh. Beaker.
See, I was
the little pigs.
I was like a Voltron era. Voltron.
Oh, really?
Or, you know...
Have you seen the new Transformers film yet?
Yeah, not the new one.
Oh, I saw the new one the other day. And it's funny because I went with another friend and she loved it. I was kind of half-half going, I like it, but I think Michael Bay's got a little bit nuts. And my boyfriend, he was just like, wow, that's just too much. He couldn't handle it. He's like, I feel like I was going to have an epileptic fit. It was just so full on.
I can't wait to watch it when I get home. Just before I left for Africa a few weeks ago, we watched a double feature, watched Wolverine, and then we went and saw IMAX Star Trek. It was the greatest day of my life.
Can I just say this, before we were talking about The Notebook and stuff like that, movies you cried and you've redeemed yourself.
Thank you, thank you.
I just love manly films. Do you like Steven Seagal? I should have asked that as the question.
You know, he was okay back in the day. He's a pretty dodgy actor.
he's woeful.
Hopefully he's not listening to this because that would be embarrassing. But no.
No, he's a bit zen. He's a bit.
Yes, very zen-ish.
Yes, anyway. Can't believe I've actually mentioned Steven Seagal on this radio station. I've never done that before.
I've never talked about the Muppets.
Well, there you go. We've brought it out of each other. Lucas Parry, thanks for letting us get to know you in 120 seconds.
Awesome, thanks.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.